Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that features the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Gail Seiler, together with Greta Anderson. Hello, Greta.
Hi, Gail. It's great to be here. We've put together a special show for today because this week KHOI is having our fun drive. We want to keep our listeners listening, and we hope that we will inspire you to become a member.
This is the second on-air fun drive that I've been a part of since I've been at KHOI, and I've discovered that they're actually really fun. There's a lot of special live programming all week long with guests on many shows and volunteers in the building taking pledges, and it all just creates a lot of good energy during the fun drive. I love it, so it's not a chore at all. Maybe we should start by telling people about how they can become members.
That's a great idea.
KHOI depends on you greatly. We're an all-volunteer, membership-supported community radio station, creating community through communication. You can share this effort by becoming a member of KHOI.
Basic membership is just $55, about 15 cents a day. For that, you'll get to hear all the programming on KHOI, as well as receive a KHOI souvenir coffee mug. Premier membership is $100, and for that, you have a choice of KHOI t-shirt or coffee mug.
Or you can become one of our 500 families. These are folks willing to contribute $250 or more yearly. In addition to being invited to special events at the station, 500 family members are offered the gift of a terrific hand-crank AM-FM weather radio. This is a great time to become a member of KHOI first thing in the morning. Call 515-292-2878, and you can pledge on the phone, or you can go to the website, khoifm.org, and click on the yellow donate button. And you can do that now, or you can come into the station anytime. We'd love to see your smiling face if you want to drop off your membership and your donation.
That's right. A lot of people do that. They like to come in and make it a physical commitment to the station, as well as, I guess, saying hi to everybody. But maybe we should get people inspired.
Okay, so let's get into this great show we have ready for you. Later in the show, we're going to hear some poems from elementary school students from the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy, which has been meeting every Wednesday afternoon throughout the school year at the Ames Public Library. But to start off, we have Joe Brecky in the studio with us. Joe is a teacher at Ames High School, and he is the vision behind a project that he calls Story County Stories. It's kind of like StoryCorps that our listeners may have heard on NPR. In it, 12th grade students at the high school have produced short audio stories based on interviews that they did.
So welcome, Joe.
Thanks a lot for having me back. I appreciate it.
Gail, you had Joe on earlier. You guys were talking about your high school students' work, and we thought it would be a great idea to air some of the students' stories during our fun drive.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to reach a wider audience, for sure.
Our theme for the fun drive is Only on KHOI, and this project really exemplifies that theme. You won't hear these kind of stories elsewhere, the voices of young local people and those important in their lives. You just won't hear that on other media.
As Greta said, we've talked previously a bit about this project, but maybe you could just remind people who may have heard or tell people who didn't hear that earlier story. What was this project? What did the students do and what did they produce?
Sure. As you mentioned, it is based upon the StoryCorps project, which is a nationwide project of people interviewing their loved ones and sitting down together for meaningful conversations. And that's exactly what we've tried to reproduce here with the students and their loved ones within our own county. And so I think that's obviously what makes this unique to KHOI and what makes it unique to Story County. So the students listened to a number of the StoryCorps podcasts, and we started to use those as models for our own interviews and our own podcasts that where they had an opportunity then to take what they'd heard and what they learned from those experiences and take them to their own family and interview the people that they wanted to hear stories from, especially at this time of transition in their lives. This is a really big time for high school students, and they're thinking about the next steps, and I think that the time is right for them to have some meaningful conversations about all kinds of things, about relationships, about careers, about how to make your way in the world. And so this was designed to be that opportunity for them to have those meaningful conversations at a time when a lot of our communication is maybe not meaningful. Maybe it's limited to a certain number of characters, and it's about social things that are happening within the day and throughout the day, rather than the long term meaningful conversations about the stuff that matters.
So it's interesting. It seems like they're using technology. They're doing this digital recording and digital editing. So they're using technology, but they're actually using it to maybe do something that some of our use of technology today has lost.
Maybe inhibits even.
Yeah,
absolutely. That was another one of the goals, to help them develop some technical skills that they can take with them for sure. But then just like you mentioned, to develop it in a different way than maybe they're used to using it.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that you said previously that I found really interesting was that it was not only about individual learning, but they were listening to each other's. So they learned about other students in their class that they'd known for a while but didn't really know.
Absolutely. And today I brought some of their reflections that I can share later if you'd want me to. But that's absolutely one of the things that they mentioned, and that over the course of the couple weeks that we listened to each other's, they expressed empathy, that they're developing empathy for their classmates and for the people in our community, and learning about them in ways they hadn't before.
Remarkable. So let's hear some of the stories, shall we? In this first segment, we're going to hear two stories. The first one is from Taylor Hagen, who interviewed her grandfather. And the second story was produced by Evan Prochaska, who interviewed his dad. And both of these stories were more or less situated in Iowa. And then after we hear them, Joe, if you could just tell us any backstory on each of these, maybe a bit about each student and what the process was like for them and what they got out of it. So let's hear the first set.
Alan Hagen, March 4th, 2015. Born 1948 in Palo Alto County Hospital, and moved to Redondo, Iowa. There was 12 people there, and my dad had a gas station garage and a convenience store bar, and that's where I lived until I must have been 5 years old. And then I moved to Havelock, and that's where I lived till I was graduated from high school in 1967. Went to trade school in Sioux City. Went to school to be an auto mechanic. Worked in Lorenz, Emmitsburg as an auto mechanic. And then moved down to Ames in 1970. And worked for Benson Motor in Ames.
What was your childhood like?
I come from a poor family. Didn't have a lot of money. My mother never worked. She didn't have a driver's license. My dad did. That's what our income was. And like I say, it was a small farming community.
What kind of child were you?
Well, I was no angel, that's for sure. I had my share of run-ins with the law when I was old enough to drive, run around with some roughneck kids, and didn't end up in prison or jail. Probably done some things that could have got me there, but just never got caught. So I'm not going to say I was fortunate. I was just lucky.
What was your favorite childhood memory?
Probably playing Little League Baseball. The team got started the year I was eligible to play. That's where I played the rest of my growing up years.
Is there anything that you regret doing when you were growing up?
Yeah, there's lots of things I did that I regret doing, but it's over with and long gone. And I wouldn't have done things that I'd done then today. No way. Going to school, my name was mentioned because I was in trouble. And today my name would be mentioned because I was on the honor roll.
Do you have any crazy stories from growing up?
Stole a car, stole tires off the back of a car, indirectly involved with purse stealing, a lot of possession of beer as a minor, and a lot of fines.
What was school like?
Well, it went from, I think, 8:30 to 4 o'clock. Sports was the last 2 hours of the day. From 2 to 3, it might have been girls' sports, and from 3 to 4, boys' sports. You got a half hour, I think, for lunch.
How were the teachers?
If you want to know what I thought of when I went to school, I was always right and they were wrong. But now that I'm on my own, or out grown up and got away, teachers were, I should have followed, listen. They were all just doing their job, no different than today.
What did your day consist of after school?
Go home and do chores. They'd bring the wood in, bring in the corn cobs. They'd start the fire in the morning, feed the chickens, scoop snow, help Dad. The girls, they'd have to help Mom do dishes and laundry, baking. There was a lot of baking that went on. Raise the garden, have to go weed the garden. Not just a little spot, but maybe acre, acre and a half.
Were you a good cook?
Oh, I don't know how to cook. I could burn water.
If you could change anything about your life, what would you change?
Hit the books hard. Study.
Do you think you'd still be a mechanic?
Oh, I would never go to be a mechanic today. Uh-uh.
What was the best decision you ever made?
Getting married. And that's because it took the wildness out of me.
Is there anything else you'd like to say or think of?
No, I think that probably sums it all up.
Okay, thanks, Grandpa, for your time.
You're welcome.
I know that there was a bit of financial difficulty with you and the farm growing up and stuff, but when did you and how did you guys decide to make the decision to go to college and to invest some of your brothers and sisters and to get them the education?
You know, what's your end in mind? And, you know, reality was, is I wanted to have a life that was better than my parents. You know, I knew what it was like to be poor. I didn't know how to do it, but I knew I didn't want to be poor. And when I say that, that's nothing against the fact. We had a lot of fun, but we did not have the opportunities to do anything. We didn't have anything nice. We didn't have, financial support from, school programs or whatnot. And our grandparents helped us through a lot of things. And I just didn't like the way that felt to be dependent on, you know, the support of other people. And so that's where I kind of made it my mission that I was going to not be like that. I didn't want to have to call up my parents and say, hey, I need money to help us buy a car. I need money to help, you know, feed ourselves. So in agriculture, you know, my parents, we went through some really hard times. I mean, it was, money was very tight. We were probably considered under the poverty line when you looked at our income, because we you know, just whatever you did, when you work hard and you get no crop, it was pretty difficult. So there was a lot of families that went bankrupt at that point. So, you know, really, when you grow up and you live that every day, you know, the yelling and the financial worries all the time, you obviously look at, what else can we do?
Mm-hmm. You did go to college. What are some of those experiences that your brother was talking about? Like, what do you remember most about going to college and that soul searching aspect?
So it was really a hard time to figure it out for myself. You know, that's the thing that's weird, is you've got people that are there that are experiencing the same things and maybe care about you, but the reality is they can't do it for you. And that's probably the best thing that ever happened to me was, you know, in college when I got to the point where, you know, you can sit and feel bad about yourself or you can pick yourself up and get it done. And that's, it probably took me till probably late in my sophomore year before I finally realized that, you know, this isn't a free ride. This isn't, this isn't a joke. This is my life, and I'm really screwing it up. And so that was probably the best thing that happened to me was kind of the enlightenment of, hey, I got to get this. I got to do this.
This is KHOI Community Radio. You're back with us here on Local Talk. And we have Joe Brecky, high school English teacher at Ames High. And we just heard some work that his students did as part of their classwork. And actually, Gail, my co-host, was part of teaching these kids how to work with the radio audience.
Right. Ursula, the station manager, KHOI station manager, and I visited Joe's classes One day was cut a little short because it ended up being a snow day, early dismissal.
Right.
But back in January, we visited his classes and worked with the students. They had done their initial interview, and we worked with them on finding the story in what they had already and then going back, had a plan to go back for a second interview and get more of that story. Before that, they had visited the station just to see kind of what a professional studio was like, and they could do their recording here, and a few of them did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rick helped them out.
Mm-hmm. Rick, our intrepid engineer who's also with us today. So what are your thoughts when you listen to those last two? We just heard from Taylor and Evan.
Yeah. I just appreciate so much the honesty of the conversations. And to hear a father and son talk like that about why did you go to college, you know, and at this time that – you know, Evan, his son's about to graduate. And I didn't have either of those students in class. There were three other teachers at the high school who were also engaged in this project with their classes. And so I don't know these students well. But what I hear is, again, these meaningful conversations where a father tells a son, it wasn't easy. And I was messing up my life. And to talk about regrets and to talk about difficult times. I think a lot of times as parents, I have two young kids, we want to shelter them from difficulty and make them think that everything's okay and we got everything under control all the time. But it's really important to have these honest, meaningful conversations, especially as these high schoolers head off on their own to a new experience to really understand why am I doing this and what is the purpose of this next stage of my life. And to hear that from your dad, I think that was really powerful, really powerful. It hits me emotionally when I hear them, mm-hmm. hear the two of them talking like that. The other piece with the grandfather, you know, as you and I were mentioning as we listened together here, it's just, again, the honesty is just so sweet from grandpa. And to have perspective now in life to look back at his own childhood and say, yeah, I regret these things and these are the things I did, and to be able to say them with humility and some humor, I think, as well, that I really screwed up a few times. And
mm-hmm.
and for the grandpa again to say to his granddaughter when she asks him anything you would do differently or what would you, looking back, he'd say, I would have hit the books more and I would have, you know, been a better student. And as a teacher, of course, I love to hear that. That's great advice. But yeah, I just really love the honesty in these voices and in the conversations, and that the students are asking authentic and meaningful questions. And I just don't think we spend enough time doing that anymore. There are so many distractions, so many ways to avoid sometimes difficult but meaningful conversations.
And now the students have those conversations. They have them forever.
Absolutely.
They're recorded, which seems simple, but it's really, really something pretty significant.
And a lot of the students mentioned that they wanted, and we talked about this, the students who were in the studio with us last time we talked, they mentioned that their family members also wanted to interview other family members, that they wanted to have these same experiences and these same records of the voices and the ideas of their loved ones. And all of these recordings that the students made are also available now on the Ames High website. If you go right to the main Ames High School page, there's a link right beneath the picture of the school that says Ames High School students participated in the Story County Stories Project, and you can hear all of them.
You were talking about how the stories impacted the other students in the classroom, and what struck me about these stories was they both spoke about poverty,
mm-hmm.
and living through poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of one of those things that isn't really discussed in mm-hmm. the hallways, you know.
Yeah.
They must have been very powerful for some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of communication and kind of putting things out and not hiding them is part of building community through communication.
Absolutely.
Which is KHOI's
it sure
mission
is.
As well. So we were really glad to be a part of this project. So maybe we should remind people now that it's also our fun drive.
It is our fun drive. We're having fun already. Are you having fun yet? We're looking for that extra D, as in dollars, to come into our doorway and or even over the internet if you'd like. If you think this is really worthwhile activity that we're doing, maybe your students aren't in high school, but you can just see the value of having this in our community and having a more thoughtful group of kids go off to college, I think that's a good enough reason to call us up now at 292-2878 and make a pledge for membership in KHOI Community Radio.
So let's hear two more stories. The first is a conversation between Isaac Nepel and Bobby LeBlanc. And the next one is Ali Naraji talking with his dad. And unlike the last two, which were focused in Iowa, both of these stories, the interviewee is talking about life outside of Iowa.
I will tell you a story around 1965, so I would have been 11 years old. I'm thinking about it is because I just saw Selma. And, of course, I mean, it's the stereotype of Southerners being racist and the Klan and all that kind of stuff. And all that stuff was true. I mean, that existed. But I knew racism. This story, which I've told several times to different people, even told my American history class when I taught American history. My father owned a propane and butane company in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the name of the company was LeBlanc Gas. Okay, so you have to think how that kind of affects you in school when you know people would say LeBlanc Gas, you got gas, that kind of thing. Anyway, he had to go to Birmingham, Alabama, to buy a bulk truck, and he took one of his black employees, Howard, who would drive the truck back to Baton Rouge. So the only part of the trip I remember, we stopped at the Holiday Inn in Jackson, Mississippi. Now, I was kind of unaware at the time of racism. And in 1965, you wouldn't go into a restaurant in Jackson, Mississippi with a black man. It wouldn't be done. Anyway, so we stopped in the parking lot, and my father pulls up, and Howard parks the truck way at the end of the parking lot. And we walk over there, and my father told Howard, said, Howard, come on with me. We're going to get some lunch. And I can remember Howard said, Mr. LeBlanc, no. I said, I'll just wait here in the truck, and y'all go get your lunch. And my father was really insistent, but he was always an insistent man. So he said, Howard, get out that truck and go in there and have lunch with us. Well, of course, all this is going on, and I'm not realizing that Howard knows that a black man is not going to go to a Holiday Inn restaurant in Jackson, Mississippi in 1965. My father basically threatens to fire him unless he gets out that truck and comes to have lunch with us. So he gets out the truck. We're walking towards the entrance, and my father stops back in his car, and he opens his glove compartment, and he takes out his .38, and he puts it in his pocket. And that has always struck me. I mean, that I don't know what he would have done with that pistol. I'm sure he would have shot someone had they caused any trouble. But I remember walking in the restaurant, I was sitting down, and everybody in there was white, of course, and everybody looked at us. And they served us, and we ate, and there wasn't any trouble. It was just that realization in my life when, oh, my God, there is racism. And if you're black, life's a little different for you. And, you know, at 11 years old, that was kind of a reality I'd never faced before. So it's a story that kind of has stuck with me over the years, and every once in a while comes back up when I think about the South and racism. That's my story of 1965.
My dad grew up in Iran in the 1960s. He was playing professional soccer in Iran at the time of the Iranian Revolution in 1979, when the new Islamic government came to power.
Hi, my name is Hossein Naraghi. Since I was really 4 or 5 years old, I was playing soccer in the streets and in the alleys, like with other children, and I was in love with soccer. I was playing soccer like 10, 12 hours per day from early in the morning, and sometimes my mom was coming and just saying, do you want to eat something? You've been outside for like more than 10 hours. You don't want to come and eat something? When I was playing for a club, we had very good friendship with all other team members, especially with one of team members who was like 8 years older than me, but he was so supportive of me from the beginning and always supported me and tried to be my mentor. He was very bright and very intellectual guy. He was involved with some organizations that they were like standing against the bad things that government was doing against people For that reason, they captured him and put him in jail. So that was one of the dark moments of my life. I was so sad he was in prison, and unfortunately after a couple years in prison, I heard the worst that I could hear. That guy was executed for just nothing, just thinking differently and just saying that nobody has go under force. I was so sad, and that was like end of my soccer career in Iran, because I didn't want to play soccer anymore in Iran. And that was the moment I was thinking that this is not the place that I could live anymore. For that matter, I was thinking to come to United States. We needed to go to another country in a U.S. embassy to apply for U.S. visa. Because at that time, like still, we don't have any U.S. embassy inside of Iran. So people who wants to apply for U.S. visa are supposed to go to another country to apply for U.S. visa. So I decided to go to United Arab Emirates, Dubai, to apply for U.S. visa. There was an Iranian businessman. He was just laughing at me and said, with the document that you have, it's impossible that you can get a visa. I went to apply for visa, and I got the visa, and I was so happy that, you know, because of the things that businessman told me, that it's impossible to get a visa, and I approved for a visa. That was so nice. So I just went to that guy and told that, you know, I got a visa, and he was so surprised, because that same guy supported his own son like about $1 million, and his own son went for the visa to apply for a visa, but he was refused. So I came to US knowing that at that time I had no English knowledge, and I just came to US with just nothing, you know. I just only knew a couple of English words. That's all I knew.
Very powerful stories about memories of injustice in the U.S. and elsewhere in the world. And these two students were in your English class, Joe.
Yeah, that's correct. And Ali, I know, I've known for a couple of years. He's on the Ames High soccer team, and I've coached him. He's working his way back from an injury now, but this connection with his dad through soccer is a really strong one, and it provided a catalyst for a really important conversation once again, just asking the questions. And I think it's really important in, for all of us to know the immigrant stories of the people who live in our community, and to know how did they come here, why did they come here, and what can we learn from them. And in both of these stories, I think that these are just great examples of oral history in the Studs-Terkel tradition, where we're just hearing first-person experiences about things that many people have lived through and that students may be reading about in a history book. But when you hear it first-person like this, it really becomes real and authentic, I think.
It's interesting how in the first story he said that he was recalling it because of seeing the movie Selma. So, yeah, it makes it very real to students who may be seeing these things on the internet or in films, but it makes it real.
Yeah, absolutely. And Isaac, I really appreciate his attempts. Most students, you know, were encouraged, obviously, to interview loved ones, family members, and Isaac took a risk in interviewing, I think, a family friend, you know, mm-hmm. but who I think he might have heard pieces of this before and wanted to hear more about that story. And it sticks with you.
Radio is great for people who with curious minds.
Yeah, yeah.
To go out and explore more and find out the details. And you spoke of the authenticity of the authentic history, you mm-hmm. know, feeling history come alive and be authentic. But there's also something very authentic about the assignment that you did, in that the kids weren't just writing something for you, their
right.
teacher. They were well, they found out eventually that they were just doing this for themselves, which is probably the most important part. But in the meantime, they were producing something for a community audience.
Absolutely.
On KHOI Community Radio.
And that's something we couldn't have done on our own, which is why we reached out to KHOI and appreciate your help and support so much in that. This is something we would like to continue. We'd love to build on what we've started here and maybe even see other schools in Story County participate in the Story County Story Project. And again, it's something unique that provides students a real audience. And here their voices are being heard throughout the county. So we appreciate it.
Yeah, and if there are folks from other schools out there in our listening area, other schools in Story County or even the surrounding counties where we're heard, and you would like your students to be involved in this, KHOI Radio is open to that as well because our community extends beyond Ames. And so this can become a wider Story County Stories project or it can become a Boone County Stories project. No end to the possibilities.
Well, we know that Joe has to head right off to school soon, so maybe we should listen to the last segment that we have.
When my mom was 14 years old, she moved to Arabia for a while with her family because Grandpa happens to be Arabic. This is one of her stories.
I was at home babysitting. I was so much older than my siblings that I babysat quite a bit. I was in our apartment babysitting them all by myself, and Grandma and Grandpa were off shopping. I don't know where they were. And somebody rang the doorbell, and I went to the door. And there was this cluster of women at the door, and they wanted to know if Dr. Abdullah was there, and no, he wasn't. Well, they wanted to give me some things to thank him, and they had these trays of food. There was, you know, some plastic trays wrapped up, and there was a cake box, and there was all
yeah,
the stuff.
Yeah, Arabic people and their food.
Yes, that's lots of food.
Giving presents.
So, and it was stuff that had come from the reception that they'd had, you know, this big party. And so they, to thank him, they had brought the extras over. So I, you know, took armloads of food in and put it on the kitchen table and thanked them, and they went away. And I was curious. So it was late in the evening. I wasn't hungry. I wasn't planning to eat, but I just kind of wanted to see, well, what food did they bring? And so I peeled back the lid off of one of the tinfoil trays, and oh, it was some kind of like rice and shrimp and stuff on top, and that looked pretty good, and looked at this, and then there's some kind of, you know, baklava. And then I got to the cake box, and I opened that up, and I couldn't figure out for a few seconds what I was looking at. And so I put my face down really close, like, what is that? And then suddenly I realized that it was a sheep's skull staring at me. And when you boil a sheep's head, like their gums peel back from, so all you get are these teeth grinning at you, and you know the eyes kind of cloud over, and so it was just this skinned boiled sheep's head laying there, and beside it this big blob, kind of brain sized yellow blob, which is the fat from the tail. The sheep there. Here, they often will cut off their tails, but there they don't. And so their tails get fat, like little bowling balls swinging behind them. So anyway, so that's what was in this box, again, sitting on a bed of rice. But it was so not what I expected that my brain couldn't process it for a while. And when I finally realized, I kind of gave this little shriek and jumped back and went marching out of the kitchen and shut the door. And by the time Grandma and Grandpa got back, I was still just because I'd been flustered and scared by it, and I knew it was stupid to be scared, I'd gotten angry. You know, I'd gotten angry at my own reaction, and so then I was angry at them. So when they walked in, I was like, you know, thanks for leaving me with the kids again, and just so you know, this stuff had been brought, and there's this thing in the kitchen, and back in the United States, if somebody delivered a sheep's head, we would be calling the police. And, you know, that was...
You sound like Jadzia.
I know, really. The head and the tail, those were... They specially saved those for him because those were kind of the honored pieces, to have the eyes and the brain and the tail. So they went in and looked. Grandma, I think, had kind of the same reaction that I did. And we had a garbage chute in the kitchen, which kind of like a laundry chute. You've seen laundry chutes, but this was for garbage. And so she just opened the, it had a little door, kind of, you know, when you drop off books at the library. So she opens the door, she picks up the cake box, she takes it, she sticks the whole, just shoves the whole cake box in there, slams it shut, and you could hear it go all the way down four stories. And I have never forgotten that sheep's head to this day. I can see it in my mind. Yeah. We would have just called the police about that. That would have been a mafia threat.
Oh, that's a new one.
Yeah, cultures are very different, aren't they? And what could be seen as a sign of thank you and respect in one would be a sign of shut up or you're going to get it in the other.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. That was a piece from the Story County Stories project, a StoryCorps-like project by our previous guest, Joe Brecky, who had to dash off to school.
Yeah, during that recording, he zipped out so he could be to school on time. But that was an interview done by Rhiannon Gerard. And she was interviewing her mother, who had the opportunity to live in Saudi Arabia for a while when she was younger because their grandfather was from Saudi Arabia but had never lived in that culture. And so it was an interesting story, funny but also very poignant story about cultural difference and what is a sign of gratitude in one culture that maybe doesn't translate the same way into another culture.
Anthropology in action.
Right, for sure. So when Joe left, he left us with a few reflections that students who had been involved in the Story County Stories Project had written as part of this assignment. And I'll just read a little bit from this one. Someone wrote, during my interview, there came points and moments in it where you asked yourself, why haven't you asked your father these questions before? And later on, it really touches you. One of the most challenging parts of this, I would say, is probably trying not to cry. I mean, think about it. You're having a conversation with him that probably no one else has ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
My gosh. Another comment was that from just the few stories that he has witnessed or listened to, it has been very eye-opening. It shows that we are all human. We are all going through something. We are all connected.
Perfect.
Yeah. What better lesson would you want a high school kid to come out of an assignment with?
Really, really, very powerful.
And again, that assignment was very connected to KHOI Community Radio, which is very connected to our community, and we are very proud of that. And you were a big part of that, and I'm proud of you. I'm so glad that you and Ursula made it over to the high school and gave the kids those lessons about finding stories and developing them.
It was a great opportunity for us. I love working with young people. And so if you want to help KHOI to continue to do these kinds of outreach projects and build community in all these many ways, then you can become a member and you can donate.
That's right. We have several levels at which you can donate. Of course, it's all optional. You can give us $10 if that's all you have, because we are grateful for that, and that's important. Our basic membership level is $55. Actually, if you give now, if you call up now, 292-2878, and pledge that amount, $55, you can receive a cafe Milo gift card for $5, so you could actually to get your artisan coffee for free because you decided to become a KHOI member. But we have those gift certificates, 292-2878. $55 is your basic membership amount.
And you get a KHOI coffee mug.
And then $100, a premium membership, will give you a free $20 gift certificate to Great Plains Pizza Dough and Sauce Company, which is the wonderful pizza company that is right outside our studio, right around the corner. $20. So you can, again, you can really make good on $100 with a $20 free gift certificate. If you donate now. And we're not just talking about some, you know, deal. We're talking about contributing to your community in a way that produces stories like the ones we heard that help develop the kind of latent connections in our community, in the people, and all of our stories here. Don't hesitate to call. This is a valuable, valuable service that we are providing, and I'm sure you recognize that.
Or they can pledge securely online at khoifm.org. Look for the yellow donate button over on the left-hand side.
That's right. And then finally, we have the 500 Families Membership Campaign, $250. This is for people who definitely just want KHOI to stick around and continue to serve our community of donors, because we are a community. We're local radio station. We don't serve the entire state of Iowa. So how are we going to survive? How are we going to keep doing this great work? Well, somebody said if 500 families in our community said, we want this, we think this is valuable, we want to make sure it sticks around.
Right. So become a member or donate whatever you can. Let's get back to some stories. We're switching gears a little bit.
Yes, we are switching gears. One other organization that we partnered with in the community this year is Raising Readers of Story County. They had a program over at the Ames Public Library every Wednesday where it was an hour-long program where kids met with a mentor. Each kid came in and we read for a while with them. I was part of this program, so mm-hmm. It's near and dear to me. We read with the students. That's a kind of important concept of reading with, not just reading to.
Yeah.
Or having them read to you, but you read, you swap back and forth, you exchange ideas. It's really the fun part. And then we did a few spelling exercises because that kind of helps them work on word recognition and so forth. And there were also some other projects that we did, and some of them were, one of them was a book report that they fashioned a book report. They, you know, came up with a, chose a book that they liked and came up with a few points to say about it. And then they came into the radio station mm-hmm. and shared it on the air as if they were talking to their peers about the books that they would want to promote reading. So we have a clip of what that was like, and thank Gail, you were part of that project as well. And so we'll play some of that. We aired those, I believe, last year.
In the fall.
In the fall. And then we'll move on to some of the work that they've been doing here in the spring.
Great. Let's hear it.
Hi.
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 Sound good?
Hi.
Sound good?
Hi.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. We're ready. Hello. We have some readers here from the library, and they're going to tell us about the latest books that they've read and why they like them and if they think other people would enjoy them as well. Our first reader, can you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Preston.
So what's this book that you want to tell us about?
I Survived the Battle of Gettysburg. I like this book because Thomas survived the Battle of Gettysburg, 1863.
Okay. So the Battle of Gettysburg was in 1863, and this is about someone who survived that. Okay. Tell us a little something else about the book. Was there something funny or sad that happened in the book?
There is something sad in this book because his brother Clem got taken away by the slave catchers.
Corey read the book Henry Aaron's Dream. It's about Henry Hank Aaron and his moving up through the ranks of baseball and dealing with segregation. The book was written by Matt Tavares, and he likes the book because it shows that no matter what, Henry never gave up. He was always going to push forward. He learned a lot from Jackie Robinson about it. A dream. He thinks that people should read the book because it teaches you a lesson, a little bit about segregation and about never giving up and pushing through if you have that dream.
Would you read another book about maybe another sports figure or someone who faced difficulties or challenges in their life?
Yes, actually I read another book about Jackie Robinson at school today.
Oh, really? Oh. So that's interesting how one book can then lead to being interested in that topic and reading similar books on that topic. What grade did you say you were in?
Fifth.
Any idea what you want to be when you grow up?
NFL football player.
My name is Brayden. I'm 7, and every time I come to the library, I look for books on insects and bugs.
And so, what happened last week?
I went to the insects museum with my mentor.
And you went to the office of an entomologist? What was his name?
Dr. Lewis. I've seen scorpions and tarantulas, stick bugs, cockroaches.
Big ones.
And praying mantises.
What does Dr. Lewis have hanging from his ceiling?
Hornet hives.
What else did you do in Dr. Lewis's office?
We seen bugs through little bugs through a microscope.
What impressed you about that?
That we seen parts of bugs' bodies.
What was your favorite thing you saw?
Millipedes.
Millipedes are kind of creepy.
And I also seen centipedes. A big one.
Are they different? Centipedes and millipedes?
Well, the millipedes are big and fat. And the centipede was yellow, blue, orange, and maybe kind of yellow.
Are you going to study insects when you grow up?
You I'm not sure, but maybe.
Gather round, there's nothing better than a friend.
Do you want to say anything else?
Oh, what a day. Thank you for listening.
That was Brayden. That was my mentee saying thank you for listening. And I would love to echo that sentiment. Thank you for listening, KHOI Community Radio and to Local Talk. We put a lot of work into these productions, and we love to hear from our listeners. We'd like to squeeze in a few more pieces of work done by these young children, these elementary students who are part of the program Raising Readers of Story County at the Ames Public Library. And we have some poems that they wrote in the spring and recorded. Lana Nachtigall of the Donna Lana Kitchen Show helped us out. And actually, a lot of the poems are about food so that they could go on to Donna Lana's food show. And I'm sure she'll be airing them again for you on her show. But let's start out with Preston's, he started out the piece we just played, talking about the Battle of Gettysburg. Here is the poem that Preston wrote about food.
My name is Preston Smallsreed. I am 11 years old, and here are some of my poems. Probably my favorite food to eat are crispy barbecue chicken rings. Not bony, dry chicken wings, but rings with a lot more meat. Seeds are amazing things to plant. They give us flowers that smell sweet and tasty vegetables like a beet. I like to plant them with my aunt.
Say your name again, please.
Taylor.
What's your last name? Your
whole name? Smallsreed.
Very good. How old are you?
8.
Good. What's your poem? What's it about?
Fruit.
Read your poem.
An orange is
round, no matter where it's found. I love it so everywhere I go. Apples are good, the very best fruit. We eat them as we should and love them too. Both.
What's your name?
Hope.
And what's your poem about?
Brownies.
Read your poem.
Brownies are awesome to be eaten. Brownies cannot be beaten. I like them because they have sprinkles. I like them because they fill in my wrinkles.
Thank you, Hope. That was a lovely poem about brownies. Good. I hope to put it on my radio show.
And you heard Lana's voice there talking to Hope about her brownie poem. Those were some pieces done by the children in the, it was called a Harrison Barnes Reading Academy. Some of the kids really liked that name.
And it's also really interesting to hear Lana involved in that. It shows the way the folks at KHOI are also a community because we support each other. So efforts of one show are supported by people from another show and so on, which is a really nice place to work and be a part of.
Yeah, and becoming a member, you can make it anything you want it to be. For $55, you become a member. What does that mean? Well, you can come walk into the studio any day and tell us, you really need to do a story on this, and here's the contact of the person I know. You can come in and say, I love this kind of music. I want to hear this kind of music on KHOI, and in fact, I've got some CDs of this kind of music, and why don't you put them in your music library and have us play them? You can walk in like Joe did and said, I have this Joe Brecky of Ames High. I've got this really exciting idea that I think needs to be aired on the radio. And you can do absolutely anything as a member. And honestly, that's what we're here for. We are here to serve you and to expand this community. And there's no better way to do that than to make sure that we keep going and donate pledge today.
And we will listen to those ideas even if you're not a paying member, even if you're not a subscribed member. We'd still love to hear your ideas. But we'd also like people to become financial partners with us in this work that we do. So if you can afford to give us financial support, that would be greatly appreciated and would go toward continuing this, what I think is really amazing work that KHOI Radio does.
And speaking of partners, I'd like to close the hour with the work of my partner over at the Harrison Barnes Reading Academy, his poem that he wrote about frogs versus toads. It was kind of, we were talking about him being in the All Species Parade and what does he want to be? And he said, a frog. And I said, are you a frog or a toad? And we had this conversation. Of course, the Ames Public Library had a beautiful book about that very issue. What's the difference? And we read it together and wrote this poem together. And so this is that poem.
My name is Braden, and I have rough skin. I'm not a frog, but he is my kin. I'm more brown than green, if you know what I mean. I have short, stubby legs and the leg long chains of eggs. I can stay away from water a lot more than frogs. That's why you see me in your garden and not always in bogs. I dig deep, 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 deep and disguise myself in leaves and I am very poisonous. You might want to stay away. I'll bet you're about to explode. I'll tell you, I am a toad.
Thank you, Braden. That was wonderful.
And you're listening to Local Talk. This is the end of Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And in the meantime, I suppose we should do our outro, huh?
Mm-hmm. And we'd like to thank all the young people whose voices we heard today, as well as our in-studio guests. Thanks to Joe Brecky from Ames High School. Our fun drive is continuing all week. If you listen, you won't be disappointed. We have some really great live programming planned all week, even better than usual. And please become a member or donate whatever amount you can. Call us at 292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or go to the website, khoifm.org, to donate. Or you can come by the station in downtown Ames and say hello and become a member in person. And all our listeners are invited to come to the Fun Drive wrap-up party on Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the station. Food, music, and interesting presentations.
Local Talk was engineered by Rick Morrison. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and check us out on Facebook. You can also listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. You can go there right when you're going to find that Donate Now button on the left-hand side. You can listen to everything under the Listen Live button that's right near the Donate Now button.
Right, and remember to do it.
Your hosts for Local Talk today were Gail Seiler and myself, Greta Anderson. Remember that you, as a listener, are the most important part of KHOI. Your participation as audience and your generous donations make it all possible. Thanks for listening, and
we'll see you again on the radio.